Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
Hot off the press from Maybelline, New York, it's new Lifter Plump, an intense plumping lip gloss formulated with chili pepper to deliver a heated sensation for an instant plumping effect that lasts. From 8 sizzling shades like Blush Blaze, Red Flag, Hot Honey, Cocoa Zing, and more. An extra-large wand applicator transforms lips in one swipe. Learn more at Maybelline.com. For a limited time, get 10% off your Lifter Plump purchase on Amazon with code 10PLUMP.
Hello.
Bonjour.
Hello.
Welcome to another episode of The Juice. I am your host, Solomon Giorgio, comedian, writer, and rated the top 10 softest nipples in Maxim magazine from the years 2005 to 2007. Today's guest is a very, very funny, wonderful individual. She's a writer, actress, and comedian who's performed all over the world, including the Just for Laughs Festival in Montreal and the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. So please join me in giving a big, juicy welcome to my friend and yours, Eliza Skinner. Hi, Eliza. You look so good.
Thank you.
It's just good to see you. I just haven't seen your face in too long.
That is true. Yes, and this wig collection has grown
so much. It's definitely a problem. There's 4 more coming. That's where I'm at with the wig collection. The wigs are taking over, and it's been my life plan.
it's been your life plan?
Yeah, I didn't want any kids. I just wanted wigs.
Yeah. I'm getting just as many animals as I can.
Aww.
And yarn.
Oh, yes, you do love to knit. How long have you been knitting for?
I mean, I learned when I was a kid, but then I really got into it in college. I was in all these stupid lecture classes, and they were just awful. And I found that if I knitted during the class, I could pay attention better and, like, take notes and everything. Turns out, flash forward a couple decades, I've got ADHD. Didn't know it back then, but that was my little way of basically managing it and having part of my brain be occupied with this little repetitious task.
That's very smart.
Thank you. So
just finding ways to be unmedicated and
yes, exactly. The nice thing about knitting as opposed to a fidget spinner is that you end up with stuff and you get better at it as you go. So
it's like always like the word is very like the saying knitter is just too close to
I know, right? Yeah, there's too many different things that people have cutely named, like my knitters or like knitter, please. And I'm like, we gotta not do that, ladies, not at all. Look at us, we're all white ladies for sure.
Oh, 100%
making these cute knitting puns. We gotta stop.
So where did you move here? You moved here from New York, right?
Yeah.
Did you go to New York for school first or for comedy?
I wanted to be an agent. I wanted to be an agent or a
you
puppeteer.
You want to be an agent?
Yes, because my sister is an actress. And so I'd been around actors my whole life. And I was like, well, I know how to handle actors. Like, I know how to, like, be
they
around
are a nightmare.
Them
that
and,
is a skill set.
And interact with them. And my parents had been very strict about, like, you will not become an actor, though. You won't be a performer. We already have one of those, and we can't take another gamble. Somebody's gotta like, be a lawyer or something. I'm, like, well, I'm not going to be a lawyer, but maybe I'll be an agent. I think I only made it 2 months. I worked as an agent's assistant in a little boutique talent agency. And it was the worst job I've ever had. And they paid me $200 a week.
That's nothing.
In Manhattan. Yeah, in New York. And so I had to have a weekend job working in fancy hotels. This fancy hotel. And it was paying me more than my 9-to-5 job, just working there 2 days a week on the weekends. And everybody there was, like, happy and nice and weird, like a lot of different sorts of artsy people. It's a good day job for someone with some sort of artsy pursuit they're going for. Then I was like, why am I living in New York working in a hotel? You could literally work in a hotel anywhere in the whole world. I have to do something I can only do in New York. So I got into improv.
Oh, the fun world of improv.
Yeah, and the rest is history. Yeah, blah, blah.
Yeah. And that's why we are rich and famous as we speak.
Yes, exactly.
That's why we're both starring in the next big hit movie.
Yes, and that is what it is called, the next big, next hit, big movie. Hit movie. It's, yeah, it's a Wayans thing, right? But as far as gossip, when I worked even as just an operator, that place had a lot of, I know this isn't celebrity gossip, but we did have a lot of
That's
celebrities coming in. Yeah, and like we would know little secret things. We'd have to sneak people in and out. So people would know who was staying with who. Lots of little things like that where people would be like, watch out. One time J-Lo came and we had to sneak her in the back because she was making dinner for Puffy in one of the suites and nobody knew they were even together because he has a wife. And I was like, oh my gosh, this big city is too big for me. I don't know.
But so like before New York, where did you grow up again?
Richmond, Virginia.
Yes, I do recall this.
It's a pretty cool city because there's a really big art school in the middle of it, VCU, which isn't like super prestigious or anything, but somehow they got a bunch of money. And so they have all these resources. So if you're studying some kind of, you know, big sculptures or whatever, like any kind of art you want to do, they actually have the resources there to do it. So a lot of people a lot of art people end up in Richmond to go to school and then they graduate and they're like, huh, cost of living pretty affordable around here. I could rent a whole house and just like work at a restaurant a couple of days a week to pay for it and then spend the rest of my time being in a band or
that sounds amazing.
Or like making short films or whatever. I mean, we're the home of GWAR. Are you familiar with GWAR?
Oh, I'm very familiar with GWAR. I've met a white person in the past.
Okay. GWAR is very Richmond. GWAR is very like, we went to art school and now we have time.
That's, yeah.
So we're like, going to do something with it.
They're just like a horror movie almost band, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Very metal.
It's a metal band where they all have like these monster costumes on. Yeah. Some of them like spray blood and all kinds of things. And yeah, it was very, very popular, but very art project-y.
See, I respect
it's a city of art projects.
It's a city that commits to their lifestyle. It's also Seattle was like that way too. Like if you're weird and you had the patience and commitment, you could barely make it.
Mm-hmm. Well, but the secret of a place the size and location of Richmond is that there aren't a lot of other options. You know, like even the movie theaters, for the most part, were out in the county. So like in the city, there's not that much to do. So people will be like, hey, why don't we see if we can build a slide in the backyard that's like taller than the house?
It's an art project of a city is what it really is. It's like everything can happen, but there's not much else going around.
Yeah, but it's like this, it's weaponized apathy almost, or boredom or something. I had friends who would just like make weird costumes and run around. I was one of those people. I had a crush on this guy when I was in college, and he was going to the school there. He was going, or maybe I was still in high school, because I was there and whatever. He was living in his little cool like college house. And my friend and I were bored one day and we were like, oh, let's dress up and do performance art. So I dressed up like a chicken. We had like old dance costumes and stuff at her parents' house. I dressed up like a chicken with rubber gloves, rubber latex gloves, like not even dishwashing gloves, like surgical like gloves or whatever. Yeah. And she dressed up like a chef with a knife. And we're like, we're going to go places in Richmond and I'll run around and then she'll show up chasing me. So people will see like a chicken. Oh, and I had a little beak, a little construction paper beak. People will be like, what's that chicken doing? And then they'll see a chef and they'll be like, oh, that's what the chicken's doing. And so we did that a couple of places. A kid tripped me in one of them and it was hard to not cry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember my palms got all like torn up through the latex gloves. But one of the places we went was we ran past this boy I had a crush on, Pat. We ran past his house and we were like, ooh, it's his house. That's neat. But whatever, you know, he's not going to be standing right outside. He was standing right outside. He was standing on the second floor of the porch, so sort of like a balcony.
Yeah.
looking out. And so I run past him and I turn back and because I've noticed him and I'm like, oh, hey, what's up, Pat? Again, construction paper beak on my face. What's up, Pat? And he was like, not much. What are you doing? And I was like, you know, just like hanging out or whatever.
Just being a chicken.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Like orange tights on and rain boots. And my friend came up with her knife and started like poking my butt. And she was like, run, you're supposed to run. What are you doing? And I was like, oh, okay, we got to go. Bye. So as I said, when we started, I'm a bit much.
This was in high school.
Yeah, this was either, I think it was maybe the year between high school and college.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was probably like 16 years old.
That's like, and like family wise, like, is there like a nice little, like how do the gossip in the family work? Anybody was the town gossip in your clan or?
My mom, has no filter and yeah. I don't have too much of a filter either, but I know that. My mom doesn't know that.
My mom doesn't know that either. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Okay. So I don't know if your mom does this, but my mom will like say like mean things, but she thinks she's joking.
Yeah.
And the person who hears it doesn't know that. They just know someone said something mean to them. Or she'll just like tell somebody's secret and forget because the filter does not keep the secrets in, and she does not remember that someone has told her that it's a secret or that she told someone else.
See, our moms are a little different because my mom does it intentionally. Both of those things she does unintentionally. Okay, my mom does it for real.
Your mom is producing her own reality TV.
Yeah, she is committing to her chaos. She's never withheld any piece of information. So yeah.
Artisanal reality show.
Like, if you don't want to feel bad, don't meet my mom.
The weird thing about my mom doing it, though, is that she'll be like, it's so weird. They seem upset with me. They say that I said their baby was ugly. We'll be like, do you think maybe you said that their baby was ugly? She'd be like, no, I would never.
I just said the forehead was a little bit bigger than a brain.
Exactly. Or like, I just said like, oh, it's funny how your baby looks like an ugly grown-up. That would be joking. And I'm not even sure if I said that. I don't think I said that.
No. We're just I said like, their baby was gross. I didn't say their baby was ugly. They just need to pay attention.
Yeah, they're interesting looking. Interesting.
Look, it's kind of nice how their eyes meet in the middle. I just...
Yes. Yeah, and then extend around to the back. So yeah, there's a little bit of that. My dad is super quiet. My sister started doing professional theater when she was definitely in high school, maybe in middle school. So she like didn't even hang out with her peers, let alone hang out with
in high school
our family.
Professional theater?
Yeah, but just like local theater. But still, there were definitely articles in the local paper about her.
Oh, you best believe it.
Oh, yeah. I was a weirdo, so I didn't have a lot of friends. but I changed schools a lot. I changed schools when I was in elementary school.
In the same city?
Yeah.
I did that too, for no good reason. We just moved to another part of Fresno, California, and I go to another school in Fresno, California. And it's like, why is this even happening to anyone?
Well, when I started out, I was going to an all-girl private school that my mom had gone to when she was a kid, because she was from Richmond also. And those kids were rich, and you know what? I hope they're not listening. They were mean. Those were mean kids. They would check my tags to see what brand I was wearing. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Wow. It's not a uniform?
No. Yeah, the uniform is make your mom buy you Esprit. What's wrong with you?
You stupid.
Yeah, they were really mean. And so the neighborhood I grew up in was primarily Black. This school I was going to was at the other end of town. There was one Black kid in my class. Everybody else was white and rich.
Yeah.
And scared of my neighborhood. So like nobody would come over. And also, again, my mom doesn't hold anything back. So she would straight up tell me that. She'd be like, nope, we call their parents. They're not allowed to come over because they're racist. And so we'd be like, oh, okay. All right. Weird.
So you went to a school of a bunch of rich, judgmental racists.
Yes.
That's, I'm not surprised. Oh. In this country?
Do you want to hear a crazy story?
Of course.
So you do. That's the whole point, right? Okay. So this school, it's a K through 12 school. Our school colors were gold and white. And when the school wanted to, again, have some sort of competition within the school, they had two teams. The whole school was divided into two teams, the golds and the whites. So you would find out, I think first grade or second grade, they would have a lottery system and you'd find out what team you're on. Or if you were like me, a legacy, you would be in the same team that your mom was. We were whites. So we had Spirit Week once a year, where both teams would be like putting signs all over the school and like cheering and making up dances and stuff, including one year when the white team put a sign out front of the school that said "Whites Rule."
Oh no.
Yeah. Apparently there was one that was like "Golds Rule" also, but no, everybody driving by was just like, "Excuse us? What is this?" And called the school and they got like a big trouble. I remember I had a hat that said, it was a white hat and it just said "Whites" on it. And when I was a little kid, we would be going to the baseball games and I would be like, "Hey, I can wear my baseball hat." And my mom would be like, "No, you cannot. No, you can't. Also, we're losing that hat." So that was where I started out school. And I did not fit in. I was very unhappy. I would come home crying after
school. Almost want that hat.
Right? Like, I mean, can you imagine seeing someone walk towards it? Especially like a little kid who's like excited about corn dogs. Like some little girl's like, "Hee!" And she's got just a white trucker cap with the word "Whites."
Like, "I'm a white." So I'm like, "I guess, yeah."
Yeah. I mean, this was like in the thick of there is no perspective besides ours that we need to consider. I do not need to even attempt to put myself in someone else's shoes.
Oh, I remember the 80s.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I was really unhappy there. I would come home crying. Yeah. Nobody likes me. They make fun of me. And I'm an oddball. So they moved me to this public school that was like, they really liked the principal. And again, it was all artsy. And there was like literally an artist in residence in the basement, which sounds bad, but he was just this dude who had his artist studio in the basement of the school. And he would make murals for the school. And sometimes, but that was when I ran into social problems. There was a group of girls who went to that school with me. And most of them ended up going to the same middle school. And then most of them ended up going to the same high school. So they saw me through all of this. Yeah. And these girls were vicious. Vicious girls. Yeah. Their main move was writing notes to other people and signing them from you.
So no.
They would write notes. This is third grade. They would write notes to like the gross boy in class being like, "I want to suck your dick. Love the new girl." Love Eliza. And I remember when I found out that they had been doing that, I thought they were my friends. Like that's who I was eating lunch with, you know, like those were my pals. Then like this, like weird stuff started to happen. Like people would be mad at me and I didn't know what I had done. Or like people would be like, "You're a slut." And I'd be like, "I am 8. I found out what it was, and I don't remember how I found out, but I just remember asking them and being like, "Why did you do this? Why would you guys do this?" And said, "It's like my one. I will grudge.
For the
I will
rest
take
of
to
my
the end.
Fucking life."
Yeah. She was like, "Well, we just noticed that things have been kind of bad recently and we've been having a hard time. And we realized that was like started about around when you came to the school. So we figured it was you." And I was like, "What did I do?" And she was like, "I don't know. We don't know. We just figured it had to be you."
This is a tiny sociopath.
Right?
That is full chaos. First of all, like the whole concept of like writing a note and signing it, that is adult level menace.
I don't know where it came. I'm like, was this a result of the soap
I feel like
operas?
This is a full grown adult.
Oh yeah, in like a child suit.
I've been a child. like that is a whole child. Like that is not a regular 8-year old. That's somebody.
What's real wild is that she was like a sickly child. So literally she would do things and teachers would be like, I would be like, wait, did that, not me. And teachers would be like, oh, that is impossible. Had a tiny heart when she was a baby. She was born with a tiny heart, remember?
Yeah.
You're very mean, Eliza. And I'd be like, what the fuck? I didn't do anything. Huh? It was crazy.
Yeah, but that tiny heart is full of evil. There's nothing else.
But like she would have like, they would look at her, she would have like the big eyes and be like, I know, I could never hurt a fly. And then they'd like turn and look at me and she would be behind them straight up doing that like, bitch, evil face.
Well,
and I would be like, this is how the world is? This is what life is? Good to know.
Well, you know what? Now she's been put on blast and she's now on my shit list. And I'm pretty sure that's
Sorry.
A dangerous thing to be in.
Sorry.
Oh my God. Well, we're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back with a mailbag.
Solomon, I had a story that I was going to tell you.
Oh, yes.
I didn't get to tell you.
I wanted to tell
I didn't know that was the part.
No.
Should
we
tell
more
it
than
to you?
We can do it anytime. We can.
Should I tell it to you now?
Yes, please do.
Okay. So this is a weird story. This girl that I went to high school with, she was a weirdo. We'll call her Ellie. And everybody was a weirdo. And then I met up with her when I lived in LA and was like, oh, wow, you're here too. Huh? So strange. And she was like throwing these dinner parties and stuff. And, it was like a secret dinner club kind of thing. And I kept almost going to them, but then I was traveling and whatever. So she meets this guy online, but she's like super foodie, loves food stuff. Not a professional chef, but like is in the world. Meets this guy, moves back to Richmond, marries the guy, has a kid, starts a career in Richmond writing restaurant reviews.
Uh-huh.
And she's getting restaurant reviews in the local paper, local magazines, in the papers and magazines of like nearby, even bigger cities, DC area stuff. And then I don't know how this happened. Someone must have noticed something and they fucking did their homework and went through all of it and found out she had been plagiarizing Jonathan Gold restaurant reviews from California about restaurants there. I don't even know how you do that.
How is that even? That's...
Isn't that wild? And she would like take the turn of phrase and stuff that he said about like somebody's pupusas and she would use it about somebody's like a lobster roll or something. You know
wow.
what I'm saying? So she got fired from everything and it was this whole scandal and people were like really mad at her.
But also good for her. Look, as somebody who's like, I feel like I've had imposter syndrome my entire life. I love it when somebody is an actual imposter and gets
right. I don't even know how you think of that. Like,
but all, like that also shows the power of Jonathan Gold food reviews. Mm-hmm. They are truly the creme de la creme. I feel bad for anyone that's never had to experience a Jonathan Gold restaurant and a Jonathan Gold review.
Mm-hmm.
R.I.P. Like he's, yeah. But also if I was in a position where I wanted a fancy writing job in food, which I think is like the best writing job of all time. Where you get to eat at a restaurant and get paid? Yeah.
Well, remember I told you I worked at hotels. I started as an operator. I quickly clocked that concierge is the job to have and spent the rest of my time there working up to becoming a concierge, became a concierge. It's great. Every place that you walk in, everybody treats you like a rock star, but you don't have to be a rock star. They're just like, oh my gosh, here's your table. The chef wanted to send over this. Please have a bottle of this.
You're walking billboard for every one of those restaurants. So that's,
It's akin to being a food writer, I think.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And one time it was Britney Spears co-owned a restaurant called, I think Nola. Mm-hmm. Cause it was like New Orleans food. And I was there with a friend of mine who was a concierge. I wasn't a concierge yet. And Kevin Bacon and what's her name? His wife?
Oh, it's not Kira Sedgwick. Something. It's the other one.
Yes, it is. Kira Sedgwick.
Is it? Yes.
Yeah. They were at a table next to us, like having a good time. And then they were putting back some drinks. And then they went to the bathroom.
A little drink a drink.
Yeah. Together and had some fun in the bathroom. We were like, Ooh. Oh my God, we're watching Kevin Bacon and Kira Sedgwick clearly go off and fuck in a bathroom. Wow, this is so glamorous. I was like, I gotta have your job. This is work. Wow.
This is everything?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's beautiful. Oh.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, my jobs are never that fancy. Oh, I should have strived for better.
Your jobs, well, I mean, especially now, like your jobs are
great. Now my it's
the type of writing I do is like it's the kind that people think is glamorous because it's all celebrities. Yeah. But it's
mine. There's nobody just comes. Dumb. No one's fucking in my bathroom right now. That's really the issue that I'm having here.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like celebs from my childhood are not currently slamming each other against my wall. While
I feel
I'm at
like
work.
They might have been on some of the shows I've worked on, is what I'm saying. And now I'm just like, oh God, I'm late getting home because Ashton Kutcher wanted to be funny or something. Ugh. You know.
All right, Eliza, it's time to read a couple of the juicy submissions we got from our listeners. It's mailbag time.
Why does it have to be a mailbag?
I didn't name it mail. I wish it could be anything else. Should it be the female bag?
The person bag.
The person bag? Well, we're going to my people bag, my folks bag. Yeah. My inbox.
Ooh, I get a lot, sounds like, dirty.
Yeah, it is.
See,
a little
mailbag
dirty.
Doesn't sound like genitalia, but inbox. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, inbox. Yeah. But that's also where they sent it to. So, but yeah, it's like I get a bunch of wonderful gossip from a bunch of wonderful people that I entice out of them, and I'm very happy they've given it to me. And I want to just I'm going to read a couple of them to you from my beautiful listeners. So this is the first one. This is a very short one, very brief. Our neighbor called the police on my brothers for walking on their new fallen snow.
I want to know everybody's age.
I
want to know everyone's age because the person who called the police needs to be 80. And the brothers, I would guess, are like 8, but I like thinking that they're like 20.
I want to reverse it. I want the people, I want their brothers to be 80 and the neighbor to be 5 years old.
You know what? I blame the neighbor less. But like,
it's like, that's my snow.
Yeah. Like, where do you live where like you get snow, but not enough that it's not precious every time?
Like, it's like, I'm in a mixed situation because I'm like, definitely never call the police ever for anything.
Yeah. No.
But also, I do love new fallen snow.
Or should we call the police only for nonsense? Like only for just keep them busy with like somebody spilled toothpicks.
We need to
pick it up.
There's a loud bird, and that's what I call the police for.
Yes, exactly. Like,
keep them busy all the time.
Keep them running around doing nonsense.
And I
protecting
feel like, yeah.
Snow. Yes. Go protect. I mean, isn't that what they already do?
Welcome back to the gossip where we talk shit about the police. And we'll continue to do so until I die.
I called the cops on my neighbors because they stay up all night. They stay up all night drinking and smoking and screaming outside, pitching them each other movies all night. Bad movies.
Bad movies.
Awful. And the smoke gets in my house and they're yelling. And I say, please, please stop singing the Indigo Girls. And they say, no, we're going to keep going. So yes, I have called the police. And they do nothing.
They're not worth your time. They're not worth the time to even bother.
But I want them to go to jail.
We should send the police to jail.
Ooh. Honestly.
If you think about it.
I think that, honestly, I do think that everybody who does like something to somebody else should have to experience what that thing is.
A little
like,
bit.
So you know
like
what
a little
you're
bit.
Doing.
Like a little bit. Like you
so
should know how.
What does it feel like to go to jail? You should know that when you're putting other people in there.
Exactly. Just saying. But this one is a little longer. When I worked at a jewelry manufacturer a few years ago, a young woman would order sample pieces delivered to her house and sell them on eBay. When the company found out, they fired her but didn't have her charged with theft because she threatened to report their violations.
Oh, okay.
And that's the part where I'm annoyed, because there's a more story to this.
Oh, and they don't, because what are their violations?
That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
That's here's the thing. Like, I love gossip, but if you only tell me parts of the story and not the full story.
Well, but I mean,
what did they do? It's
like when you're making a biopic, though, right? Like, a life is not a beginning, middle, and an end. You got to just pick a part and be like, this is the movie that we're making. This part of, you know, Tina Turner's life.
Yeah, no, like,
But same thing with gossip. Like, you could dig, and there's like a, there's a behind the scenes for every aspect.
That's
true. How did she get in the situation where she needed to be selling samples at home?
I don't know the jewelry system works. Like, why would you send samples?
I'm assuming they were supposed to send samples to like a company, to like them. And she was like, yeah, we need that. Just here's the address. The address is my house. And so the company would get charged, I'm assuming, or at least inquired about, like, what happened to those samples? And they'd be like, we don't know what you're talking about. And she would be like, me neither.
Ooh.
But she did.
Oh, I just love that there's these two stories worked out where one of the person gets calls the police for no good reason, and somebody else with a good reason to call the police couldn't do so because they would have gotten in trouble.
Yeah, I do like the switcheroo there.
Yeah,
alley-oop.
But that's also the case. I think that's what, like, we're learning. This is a social lesson that we're learning, is that the police get called for petty crimes, but not white collar crimes.
Yeah, I'm seeing the ending of that second one as a Law and Order episode where, like, the lawyers show up and they're like, okay, so I guess we're giving our final arguments. And the daddy lawyer is like, oh, no, we've dropped the case. What? Why? No one knows. And it's like, oh, we, the viewer, knows, because we know she had dirt on them.
And then it ends with that, with a small children being put in jail for playing in some new falls.
Yeah, yes. Just leave your shoes outside the cell, you criminals. It's evidence.
Welcome to the system. You know what? We were going to charge them as children, but you know what? We're not going to today. I want to teach these kids a lesson about snow. That's the mailbag. Thank you for sending in your mail. Reading your submissions is honestly the best part of my week. If you want to hear your story on the show, visit teamcoco.com/heyjuice. Okay, Eliza, let's take a quick break and we'll be back with the juice line.
Hot off the press from Maybelline, New York, it's new Lifter Plump, an intense plumping lip gloss formulated with chili pepper to deliver a heated sensation for an instant plumping effect that lasts. From 8 sizzling shades like Blush Blaze, Red Flag, Hot Honey, Cocoa Zing, and more. An extra large wand applicator transforms lips in one swipe. Learn more at Maybelline.com. For a limited time, get 10% off your Lifter Plump purchase on Amazon with code 10PLUMP.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
All right, Eliza, now's the time in our show when we go to the phone. We call it the juice line. And I'm hearing from our board operator that today's caller is Cassie. She has such a great story. I want to ask her all about it. Can we patch her in?
Please hold. Thank you.
Hi, Eliza. Hi, Solomon.
Hi. I love your wigs. Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Oh, yes.
Gorgeous. Very fun.
That's all that's you. You're already now my best friend. That's all I ever want to hear. But yeah, we heard that you have a wonderful story to tell us.
I'd love to hear all about it. Okay, let me tell you. So this story is about a thrift store that I used to work at in the sort of early mid-aughts in the Midwest, mm-hmm. which is where I am from. So, it was like 2006. I was living on like sort of the town that I'm from had kind of like, it was very like hippie, bougie, yuppie hippie was like one side and like trashy hippie was the other side. And I lived on the trashy hippie side now that I was like in my early 20s. And I got a job at this thrift store that was like a very beloved thrift store. Just go there all the time. It was like very social. Yeah. And there was furniture, clothes, jewelry, shoes, my doorbell. sorry about that.
It's all good. You're allowed to exist.
Oh, thank you. And like records and books and, you know, just like all this stuff. It was like Goodwill, but like way better. It was kind of like Ooh. A Target, but like.
Now I want to go, Cassie. You really,
yeah,
you're
really
sold.
Great. Awesome.
So was it just like not picked over? Because I feel like obscure thrift stores are usually way better than like a big city thrift yeah. store.
It wasn't a big city. It was a small city.
It was a little bit more obscure.
Yeah, it was like well known. We just got tons of shipments. We got new shipments like every single day. There was just like tons of stuff coming wow. in all the time. Yeah. It was great. So I was like, all right, this is fun. I'm going to work there. It'll be great. And like, I only made like $7.50 an hour, which, you know, that's blows. But it mm-hmm. was like a fun place to work. Like everyone there was friends and like would hang out with each other and all that stuff. So I was like, all right, I like this place. It's fun. It's friendly.
So well, I already like where this is going.
Yes, it's great. So, and like people there were like dating, and like I dated the guy in furniture and whatever, you know. Yeah. One must, you know.
Nice.
Thank you. Thank
furniture
you.
Guy.
Yes.
Lift things.
That's what I like.
Ottoman. So cute. So, one of the things that you was like a bonus of working there was you get a special discount on whatever, you know, whatever you wanted. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah. At the end of your shift, you could like bring the stuff that you wanted to the back room, like the employee room, and the manager would like write down what you had, like five, you know, you get like 40% off your little crappy $5 item. And so I was like, yay. So like, you know, and eventually like a couple of weeks in, the person who was like in charge of women's fashion, she was like the department head of that. I'm going to call her Celeste. That is not her name.
I love that name. That's a good pseudonym. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I was like, I'm going to tell this story on a podcast. And she was like, okay, but do not use my name.
And I was like, okay. Did she get to pick Celeste though?
I picked Celeste. I was like, okay. Do you want a name? Is there any name you want? And that was Celeste. And she was like, okay, yeah, Celeste. So Celeste was like, you know, you don't have to pay for that stuff. You know that, right? And I was like, oh, really? She's like, yeah. Just whatever you want. Just put it under my desk. And then at the end of the day, you just take it home. I was like, oh, that's nice. Ooh. Thank you so much. That's really cool.
Amazon Go.
Yes. And that opened up a whole new world, like, because, I mean, it was kind of boring to work there, to be honest. And, like, I worked on the side of the store that was, like, I was all alone, and it was women's clothes, but it wasn't, like, juniors. It was, like, women's. So it was, like, yes. very, very dress barn kind of scenario, you know? And there wasn't a lot to pick from. So it was, like, a good challenge for me. It's, like, all day just be, like, can I wear that, like, oversized, horribly ugly sweater and just belt it? And then I'd be, like, of course. And then I'd take it home, and it was great. So it was, like, it was kind of fun. And I was just taking stuff and taking stuff and taking stuff and taking stuff. And everybody was just taking stuff and taking stuff. And then as time went on, I like found out like that this level of like thievery was like much more advanced than I realized. So the head of women's fashion, Celeste, she was taking all the designer stuff. She had an eBay shop. She was taking all that. And I asked her when I talked to her recently, I was like, what were the big ticket items? And she was like, large bulk quantities of costume jewelry. Where she'd get like a big bag of it and she'd sell it for like $400 on eBay. Amazing.
Wow. Would these be like J. Crew type, like a known brand?
Oh,
or
yeah.
just question mark costume jewelry?
Oh, the costume jewelry was just like costume jewelry. So it wasn't like nice jewelry. So I was actually she was like, I know, confusing, right? I was like, I would never spend any money on costume jewelry. Yeah. But she would get like nice designer things. Like people would donate like Gucci Prada.
Whoa.
She also said that Birkenstocks were a top big ticket item that she would sell on eBay.
That is a hippie town.
Exactly.
Oh, on eBay. Okay.
On eBay. Or she would take it to the consignment store on the other side of town.
I used Birkenstock.
I know.
In the world we live in.
Those have someone else's grease feet in them.
I know. I think it's disgusting.
People buy shoes. People buy used shoes.
Yeah, but Birkenstocks.
Yeah.
Have you seen a Birkenstock?
No.
It's got the waxy ghost of the person who was just wearing
it's
them.
It's very true.
Still embedded in the foot.
It's very true.
I looked in the direction of Birkenstocks and immediately churned away. So I've never really.
I don't
fully
get it either. Like a lightly used Birkenstock. I don't know. I'm not sure. Yeah. So that was her.
This is going to haunt me.
Yeah, it's disgusting. I know. It's kind of like, it makes me think of like a used Ugg. Like just like it'd be really sweaty there, you know?
Yeah. Like I just remember, like, I mean, I've had Birkenstocks before.
Yeah.
One pair. And you get them and it's like the bottom is suede.
Yeah.
And then the suede quickly is worn away by your foot.
Correct.
And it slicks down.
And you don't wear socks with them, you know?
No.
So it's like your sweat, your dead foot skin.
I don't understand people.
And the other departments were also doing this too, which I actually did not know this until recently, but I found out that all the departments were doing this for their nice things. So like the bookseller guys were like getting all the nice books and selling them on eBay, I guess. And then the furniture guys were selling all of the stereo equipment that was donated. So it was just like thousands of dollars leaving this store.
This hub of crime.
It was real.
I assume that's happening at all thrift stores. Yep. And that's why usually like either really suburban or really rural thrift stores are the best because the people who work there who are picking through the things have a different taste than I do.
That's
so
true.
They're picking out stuff to do exactly what you're talking about with, and I still can find my weird things.
Yes. Totally. I mean, I remember people asking.
Like when you said Dress Barn, Eliza's ears perked up.
Ooh. Like, hello. I love it. Like a smock dress? Wonderful.
I mean,
love. So there you go. Yeah, I mean, there's more if you want more.
Please, tell me.
Okay,
I want more. What kind of person do you think I am?
So, okay, the furniture situation was very exciting too because, okay, so in our employee area, you could see all the cameras like that they were recording. And they were more concerned about customers stealing, which that was not an issue. And also
Fools.
Stuff that was, what? Like, you know, maybe someone was pocketing like a $2 ceramic piece of whatever, but like, none of the cameras were on the employee. So like you could see that back there that the furniture, there was like a dock where like trucks would come in and they would do drop-offs. They'd also pick up donations. And so it was like this very active kind of loading dock area. There were cameras there, but they were not recording. And so like, if you wanted to take a big item, that's where you would go. But also, like, you couldn't really just, like, leave with something huge, like, right after your shift. Like, that would be a little bit too much. So on Sundays, the store was closed, but they still took donations. And so someone from furniture would always be at the loading dock on Sundays by themselves. And so if you wanted, like, I got a vintage couch. It's lovely. You would just be like, yo, can I come pick up that vintage couch on Sunday? And they'd be like, yeah, no, sure. I'll put it in the loading dock. Just come on by. And that's how that worked.
Oh, so, I love this.
It was great.
And I think
furnished
it's important
my
that
whole
I,
house, you know.
Look, you got paid $7.50 an hour.
Exactly.
people have to live. You don't want your employees to steal your thrift wares? Pay them enough to buy.
Give them couch buying money.
Exactly.
That's the simple. Like, if you want people to exist and work politely and not steal from you, give them the money. To get the stuff themselves.
Absolutely.
It's that easy.
It's real. And this was going on before, like Celeste, she said that when she started her job, her position, the person who had that job beforehand said, you know, just so you know, like this is what you need to be doing and the money's in the costume jewelry. And she was like, oh, okay. So
wow.
Yes.
They gave her the whole scam.
We have a legacy. Oh my God.
Because
I love this.
Yeah.
So if all these managers were in on this.
No, the managers were not.
Well, wait, what
department
was her job?
Department heads.
Okay, so the department heads were. Are you sure the managers weren't?
Where
does
sure.
it stop?
She was an idiot. Yeah, she was a fool. She was a complete fool.
Okay. But if she found out, would you guys have been
well,
in
one
trouble?
Person got in. Well, one person got found out. They got told. Yeah.
What?
Yes.
There was a
okay,
snitch.
Okay, no, but it's good.
A snitch?
I know. I felt that way too. But then I was like, "What?" And Celeste was like, "No, that guy. The guy who got told in was an asshole." So, like,
in, oh, in that case, yeah.
Yeah
so
yeah, yeah.
That's like you got to pay your employees.
Yes.
And you got to not be an asshole if you're exactly. all stealing stuff.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's like
exactly.
you're gonna get kicked out of the scam. That's how you get kicked
exactly.
out of.
And he was fired immediately. So, like, if other people, I know that other people would have been fired, but no one did. I mean. It's astonishing. Does it still happen there? I'm going to guess yes, you know?
For sure. For sure.
Yeah, just send me a message. I'll get a job there and look out for my eBay shop in the future.
Fine. Called Solomon's Brooches.
Every retail place has some version of that. Like, I mean, I've definitely worked places where people are like, oh, this is where we put our damaged wink, wink, wink products. Mm. And then we just throw them out. I'll show you how to access that dumpster.
Yeah. You know? Yeah,
and I'm
yeah,
like,
yeah.
What? What's yes. happening?
I worked at a place that made you bring a clear backpack so they could see everything you're leaving with.
Wow.
And I'm like, you can go right to hell. That yeah. place can go right to hell.
Also, absolutely. That's exactly how you make criminals.
Yes.
Because like,
now I wasn't going to steal. But I'm
yeah,
gonna find
I
a way.
I wouldn't have thought of
yes,
it.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, okay. I wonder what I shouldn't be putting in my bag.
You mm-hmm. already think I'm stealing? Let me show you how much I can steal.
And I will. And I did.
Of course.
I worked at a thrift store in college as community service for shoplifting from Walmart.
Wow. What a fun little loop.
Right?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. What did you steal back. From Walmart?
I mean, I had stolen a lot. I
had
really
gotten Walmart,
very
honestly.
Good at it, and I had rationalized it as this is Walmart,
yes,
fuck the man.
Absolutely.
That's a good reservation. It's also 100% still true.
I agree with that.
But when I did it, like the time I got caught, I think I was I think they got caught stealing deodorant and men's boxer briefs.
Okay.
So the Walmart people were like, what the fuck.
You're
and
like,
they and my car was really messy.
Yeah.
So they thought
like,
that I lived out
building?
Of my car. They thought I was like destitute and living out of my car and some like girl who wears boys underpants. And they very much were like, okay, freak, we're not even going to book you, but here's your court date and you goodbye. Like
wow.
I clearly creeped them out real
you
bad.
You would have been welcome wow. to do your community service at our thrift store. We would
see,
have
been
oh no, the thrift store people, they were great. They loved me. When I was a kid, I used to go to the thrift store in my neighborhood and just alphabetize the books for fun.
Hey.
So
Saturday.
Eliza was a very cool kid, if you didn't
yeah,
know.
Yeah,
very
cool kid.
Fun. Very fun.
Oh, thank you so much, Cassie, for letting us call you and giving
oh, yeah.
us a beautiful,
absolutely.
Wonderful story.
And I'll just text you the address on the slide,
yeah,
you know, like a little
I respect
later
that.
If you want to go there.
Thank you
yeah.
so much.
Absolutely.
Anyways, yeah.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful day.
Have thank a good you. One. Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much, Eliza. You're always such a breath of fresh air to have around. And
thank you.
See you outside of the Zoom room in the real world one day.
Oh, no, I don't leave the home. No,
I don't either. I don't. That was a lie. But thank you for coming on. I love you very much.
Likewise. I had a good time.
That's the lovely Eliza Skinner. Be sure to check out her album, Regarding My Lovers, wherever you download your music. Plus, you can catch Eliza doing stand-up at her regular show, Eliza and Friends, at the Yard Theater in Los Angeles. And if you want to tell your story on The Juice, send them in by visiting teamcoco.com/heyjuice. The Juice is produced by Nick Liao, Jen Samples, and Lisa Berm. Executive producers are Jeff Ross, Adam Sachs, and Joanna Solitaroff. Engineering and music by Eduardo Perez. I'm Solomon Giorgio. See you all back here next week as we dish out more of the low-stakes gossip you love to hear on The Juice. And please, have a juicy day.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Hot off the press from Maybelline, New York, it's new Lifter Plump, an intense plumping lip gloss formulated with chili pepper to deliver a heated sensation for an instant plumping effect that lasts. From 8 sizzling shades like Blush Blaze, Red Flag, Hot Honey, Coco Zing, and more, an extra large wand applicator transforms lips in one swipe.
Learn more at Maybelline.com. For a limited time, get 10% off your Lifter Plump purchase on Amazon with code 10PLUMP.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.